Go with me, if you would, back to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. I have enjoyed this book so much. The book of Philippians. And our God has said so much in this particular chapter. Chapter 3. There are so many things that he says in this one chapter. These are Paul's words, but he's writing under the inspiration of God, and these are God's words. Everything he has to say in this is his own word. And this one chapter contains about everything a preacher would ever be called to say. This one chapter. The warnings are in here. The true warnings are in here. The truth of repentance, a changed mind, is in here. That clear, probably the clearest changed mind that has been recorded is right in here. The gospel is in here, the sweetness of the gospel. I mean, it is sweet in this chapter. The exhortations to those who believe are in here. It is all in this one chapter. There are 21 verses. You could almost do a verse per week. That's almost 6 months. And then you could just start it over again. You could just stay in this one chapter till Christ returns. And I think we would love every minute of it. If we had one chapter, every single chapter in this word is blessed. There's not one word of God that's more precious than another word. But if we had one chapter to hold, how blessed would we be to have this chapter right here. It begins in verse 1 by saying, "Finally, my brethren." Finally, my brethren. How good and how pleasant it is to have brethren in Christ. We just had a men's meeting before this service, and nothing special happens other than the specialness of reading God's word and praying. And it's a moment that I really enjoy. And one of the men just said to me, "It is good to be in here." And it is. It is so good and pleasant to have brethren in Christ. Isn't it such a relief? Isn't it such a reprieve from this chaotic world? To come in and see your brethren. We get to have a family reunion Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. How good and how pleasant it is to have brethren in Christ. I'm so glad I don't stand alone. Martin Luther thought he stood alone, didn't he? Here I stand, I can do no other. Elijah thought he stood alone. Aren't you so glad you don't stand alone? Aren't you so glad we have brethren? And he said, "Finally, my brethren," there's love in his voice right there. "Finally, my brethren, dear brethren, those of you that God has united with me, united in the blood of Christ, united in his spirit. We come into this service, we call on him, we pray to him, we sing to him. We read his word, and what we're doing is begging for his spirit. Lord, would you fall down on these deaf ears? Would you descend down on these dead hearts? Would you kindle a flame of sacred love? Those who have been united in the spirit of Christ, those that Paul said, I will be joined to for all eternity in the sinless presence and kingdom of God. Finally, my brethren," he said, "rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. That is our great reminder for happiness. That is our great, great reminder for happiness. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't you love it when that reminder comes? whenever you have a moment where it's like, oh yeah, I do have something to be happy about. Rejoice in the Lord. Look at chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 16. He said, rejoice evermore. How on this earth do you do that? Considering the world we live in, considering the flesh we live in, how on this earth could we possibly do that? Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we could do that, we would rejoice in the Lord, wouldn't we? We would rejoice in the Lord. I just cannot rejoice in the things that are going on around me, usually. But you know what? It's okay. We're not commanded to. We're not commanded to. Some might say, I cannot rejoice in the things that are going on in my home. It's okay. We're not commanded to. Somebody might say, I cannot rejoice in myself. I just cannot rejoice in my walk through this life. I'm so unhappy with what I see. I cannot rejoice in anything I am, inside or out. That's okay. We're not commanded to. We're not commanded to. When there is nothing left in this world to rejoice in, we can always rejoice in our Lord. Always. No matter what it is. No matter, you know, you can be absolutely heartbroken. You can be going through the middle of the most intense trial. Oh, are you happy about this trial? No, I'm not happy. I don't rejoice in this trial. No. But I rejoice in my Lord. We can rejoice in His will. We can rejoice in His providence. We can rejoice in the end result. Have you ever had something happen to you that has turned out bad, truly, truly bad? Have you ever had something happen that you can just turn around and say, that just flat wasn't good? We can always rejoice in the good that our Lord is going to bring from whatever He has us in. Always. There will always be good. We can rejoice in His mercy. We can rejoice in His blood. Sunday is Christmas Day. Christmas Day. And everybody's going to be thinking on the birth of the Lord. And I don't have a problem with that. I think we ought to do it 364 more days. And I've been thinking about Christmas songs. And Hannah's been playing Christmas songs. And here the words say, God and sinners reconciled. Born of a virgin. Hail this God incarnate deity. Born that man no more may die. God was manifest in the flesh. God in mercy came down and prepared a place for us. Died for us, prepared a place for us. This world is not it. This world is not it. We have careers that we're so involved in, and we need them. We're thankful for them, but it's not it. no more than the womb being the end of a person's life. Well, they had the womb, and then that was it. It was all over. That's not even the start of it yet. Life was there, but it started when they were delivered. We're going to be delivered. The thought of physically being with Him. My cell phone told me today that my voicemail was 90% full. So I started deleting voicemails. And it went back months. And I had one on there from September from a dear friend named Cody Groover. And I listened to his voice today. He sees God. He's with God. Does that make your heart rejoice at all? We're going to get that if we're in Him. The thought of one day being completely sinless. I wish I could ask my brother Cody right now, what does it feel like to be sinless? You know what he'd say? It's not possible for a man's mouth to utter it. I would tell you, but you don't even have ears to hear it yet. We can rejoice in the thought of being conformed to the image of the Lord who saved us. I mean, I know what I am down here. I know what I am, but do you know what I'm going to be? All we have to do is flip the page. Look at Him. Look at Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Go with me back to Philippians 3. Verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe." I am so glad we have the gospel. I'm so glad that God has convinced us of these two things. I believe the Lord has convinced us of these two things. The first one is, when it comes to religion, there are thousands and thousands of different messages out there. Aren't we convinced of that? There are thousands of different beliefs, thousands of different doctrines, thousands of different stances on the Scripture. He's convinced us of that, hasn't He? The other thing that He has convinced us of is there is only one message out of all those thousands. There's only one belief. There's only one doctrine. There's only one stance on the Scripture that will save our souls. He's convinced us of that, hasn't He? The one that Christ has declared, the one that gives Christ all the glory. Has He convinced us of the fact that He is true and every other man is a liar? Has He convinced us of that? Has He convinced us that we don't need an opinion on His Word? We just need His Word. We just need His Word. Aren't you so glad we don't read His Word clearly, word for word, in black and white and say, "Well, it doesn't mean that now." Now, see, what you got to do is you're going to have to go back to that original Greek. You're going to have to twist that until you finally get it to say the exact opposite of what it says. Verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe." We have some grasp on eternity, don't we? We have some very, very small grasp on how short this life is and how long eternity is. And you know what that tells us? We cannot afford to be wrong. We cannot afford to be wrong. And we do not want our eternal souls hanging on a sinner's opinion of the Scripture, do we? We want our eternal souls hanging on the word of Christ himself. The word of Jesus Christ himself. I have physically heard men say that they're not interested in the simple, plain message of Christ. Not interested. And the reason is because they're looking for something that can more so challenge their mind. And that's fine. If that's what they want, that's fine. The only problem with it is it's not safe. It is not safe. Our Lord said it pleased his Father to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them to babes. Isn't that what he said? Babes who are not able to feed on anything more than the simplicity of Christ. The absolute simplicity of Christ. Our Lord also said, not many wise men after the flesh are called. God has chosen the foolish things. What arrogant man calls foolish. Simple and foolish. That's what God has chosen to confound the wise. God's apostle said, for that reason I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's safe. It's safe. Verse 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And then he says in verse 2, beware of dogs. There's the warning. Beware of dogs. For the sake of being safe, beware of dogs. What does he mean by that? Who are the dogs he's talking about? He expounds on it here. Verse 2, he said, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those who preach and believe and hold to the works of man. Look with me at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments. And what is his commandment? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. They're going to be allowed to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. But verse 15 says, without are dogs. Dogs will never be allowed in. Dogs are, it goes on to say, sorcerers. Those who use trickery, they try to hypnotize people to get followers. Dogs are, he goes on to say, whoremongers. Those who try to steal man's affection away from Christ. Dogs are murderers. Those who hate the true and living God. They hate God being God. They hate his word and they murder men's souls in the process. Dogs are idolaters, it goes on to say. Those who worship another God, and there's not another one. There's not another. Beside him, there is no God. Dogs are whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those who stand up behind pulpits and they love lies and they tell lies. They love them and they tell them. Our Lord said, they're not coming in. They're not my prophets, and they're not coming in. Look with me now over at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, this is talking about false prophets. Verse 10 says, his watchmen are blind. Blind to the truth. Blind to the word of God. They are all ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of the word of God. They are all dumb dogs. they cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Just like if you had a dog in your house for safety. And a thief breaks into your house and starts stealing everything you have. And that dog looks up at that thief and then lays his head back down and goes to sleep. Never barked. Never one time. Never warned of the danger. That is a false prophet. That's a false prophet. Verse 10 says they cannot bark. They cannot bark. Verse 11, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. They say, smile, it's all health, wealth, and happiness. And they never bark. They never warn of the danger. Never. They seem friendly. They seem like man's best friend. Oh, you're going to love him. He's a preacher. They seem harmless, but our Lord said in Matthew 7, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And he said, beware of them. Beware of them. Go with me back to Philippians 3. Verse 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, those who preach and believe in the necessity of man's works, those who try to destroy grace. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision. We are the true people of God. God made a promise to his people. His promise was an inheritance. That's what he promised to his people, an inheritance. And he promised it to his particular people. Not to the whole world. It was to his chosen nation. He promised it to the Jews. He gave the Jews a token of his promise, which was circumcision. And that's why it's always talked about through the New Testament. All of these books we're in, they keep talking about circumcision. The reason is because that was God's token of his promise. You're getting the inheritance. Here's your token, circumcision. Only the Jews will be saved. Only the Jews will receive his promise. Only the Jews. But good news came to us Gentiles when Christ came. Good news came to us. He told his apostle to write, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. That's not what I was talking about. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter. It's not in the birth certificate. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. What does that mean? Verse 3, it means, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. All of the promises of God, every single promise, all of the eternal inheritance of God is to those who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That is comforting to me. That's comforting to me. How can a dead sinner truly worship God? How can a dead sinner truly worship God? The answer is God has to quicken him. God has to send his spirit to Him. If we do worship God, God made us worship God. Isn't that true? If we worship the true God, the God of this scripture, then it's God who made us worship God, and that's our evidence that we're the people of God. We, by evidence, worship the true and living God in His Spirit. Made to bow. Made to bow, but we love to bow. We are His true people who love to bow. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Is He our God? Yes, He is. Do we say every knee must bow to Him? Yes, we do. But there's nothing we'd rather do. We love to bow to Him. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's how we started. Rejoice in the Lord. It's our favorite thing to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Has God made this promise to me? That's what I want to know. Has God made this promise to me? Well, do I rejoice in His mercy? Do I rejoice in His shed blood? Do I rejoice in His will and in His providence concerning me? Can my heart say He has done all things well? Can I say that? He's done all things well. One more question regarding it. Do I put any confidence in my own flesh? Any confidence in my own flesh? You know, that's so easy for us to do. Even now, this flesh will try as hard as it can to say, I do have some role in this. I am growing in grace. Don't you see it? I am getting better. I am showing evidence. Am I happy with what I see in myself? And do I make me happy? Can I make it to God on my own? Can I make it to God on my own? Can I make it to God on my own? Do you know the whole world can? Only God's people can't. The entire world believes in their heart, I can make it to God on my own. It's only a small remnant of people who believe in their heart, I cannot make it to God on my own. No confidence in my flesh. If this describes me, this is His word of promise to me. Verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If God has given us a heart to say amen to every bit of that, zero confidence in this flesh. We bow to God. We thank Him for Christ. If He's given us a heart to say amen to that, then this is what He has to say with us. I'm going to close with this. I love this. Go with me to Colossians 2. I love this. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10 says, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He was cut off for you. Buried with Him in baptism, that one true baptism, the death of Christ, the shedding of His blood, immersion into His death, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. If you've ever done anything, that's important to you. You ever done anything? You ever done something you know you shouldn't have done? Why did I do that? I am the man. Can you say that about anything? It says, verse 13, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with the perfection of a holy Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord did that. It's amazing. That's amazing. The Lord did that. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. Let's all rejoice in the Lord. Let's all, whatever we do, may we rejoice in the Lord. Whatever this mind is filled with, Lord, fill it with the goodness of Christ toward me. Whatever this heart is filled with, blot it out and replace it with rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. All right, let's stand together.